21 years ago this month, or last month. And I have to tell you, I'm going to do a wedding at the end of this month with James and Angela up in the balcony. And there's just something about, the groom is always, terrified. And then the door opens, and then the bride is like, "Pata, look at me." And then it sets in, oh my gosh. I thought I was going to fall over. And then we came forward when we sang that song first. And all of a sudden, my focus was redirected, and that I had a promise in Jesus, who was the Son of God who came to save the world. And it really helped me to understand that the mourning wasn't even about us. It was that our relationship points to Jesus. So, sorry, I needed to indulge you this morning. I have to tell you, there's going to be more than one shark reference this morning. I'm just warning you in advance. This past week was Shark Week. And I love everything about animals. And they started off really slow. For those of you who watched, they started off really slow. And I was like, come on, man. And maybe there's nothing new we can learn about sharks. Maybe we've had 20-plus years of Shark Week. And I was telling my brother, Shark Week's coming. He's like, I want Lion Week or give me Tiger Week. Why does it got to be Shark Week every? Let me know everything? Well, enter this dude. Oh, now it's not going to work for me. Andrew Mayne, this guy is an illusionist, and he just loves sharks, and he thought there's got to be a better way for researchers to observe sharks closer up. So he came up with this suit he calls Ghost Diver. This is Module 2, or the second prototype, and it's body armor. And then there's a mesh that keeps your electrical signals from being recepted by the sharks. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but they have sensors in their nose where they can pick up electrical things. So if your heart starts to beat fast, they will find you, whether they see you or not. And so that masks that, and then he's got the body armor. And then there's some lights underneath reflective tape, all right? And so literally he became invisible to the sharks. He swam out, and there's great whites swimming right by him, and he's like, well, we're gonna find out real quick if this suit works or not. What the world? Do not sign me up for that. I want after the fifth prototype and it's been proven by 90 people, then I'll go swim with great white sharks. But he walks out and the sharks just kind of swim right by. This is his new prototype. Here we go. This is the one he just released. And so the two little things coming off, they're rebreathers, so then there's not a whole lot of bubbles because then the sharks will sense the bubbles too. And so he's created the suit so divers can swim out and find out more about sharks. I know for some of you, you're like, just shut up, move on, right? For me, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's amazing. I really believe that we're as created in the image of God, we're predisposed to awe. When we see things that are amazing, what? And so for some of you, you're sitting here this morning going, what? We can swim with sharks and not get bit? Yes! And some of you are like, So how about this? So then this week, we watch way too much television in my home. It's probably something I need to give up. Here we go. We're not working here for some reason. I don't know if you watch AGT. For the non-knowers, that's America's Got Talent. And so enter Edson and Leon. And these guys walk out on stage from Brazil with an interpreter. And I'm looking at them with the suits on. I'm like, these guys are totally going to sing, right? And you're going to be like, what? Wow, that's amazing. They're really good singers. And then this is what happened. That is 54-year-old Edson holding up 84-year-old Leon by one hand. And they went on to oh, see, now you're in awe. Now you're like, that's what I'm talking about. And they went on to do all these different feats of strength. The dude is 84 years old. At 84 years old, I'll be lucky if I have all my teeth and I can walk straight. This dude is powerlifting. And so there's things in our lives that cause us, like to be in awe. And maybe these didn't do it for you. Just think this morning, what are some things in your life that cause you to be in awe? What are some of the things people have done that cause you to be in awe? That's the place I want you to go to this morning. Because oftentimes we let those places of awe, especially in regards to people, take us to a place of unhealth. And we find ourselves at that place in Acts chapter 14 this morning. Acts chapter 14. Our theme this morning is worship God. Acts chapter 14. If you need a Bible, we provided one in front of you. It's page 896 in those Bibles, or if you brought your own, or you have your Bible on your phone, whatever you need to do to find Acts chapter 14. I also want to say, in the pews in front of you, you'll see notepads, and you'll also see sketch pads. If you're a doodler or a drawler, we'd really encourage you to use that as a form of worship. This morning, some of you are artistic, and so if you want to sit here and doodle while I'm preaching, awesome. If you want to write, if you need to write, if things that I say have caused you to think, grab one of those sketch pads. They're perforated, so you can rip them right out and take them home with you. Although, if you do draw something and you want to leave it, we're going to create a wall in our new section over here where we're going to display that artwork. And so we can see how the worship in the form of art is taking place in our church. But Acts chapter 14 this morning, Acts chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 8, and we're going to read to verse 20 this morning. We've been following Paul throughout this journey. And so Acts chapter 14 this morning, this is what it says, starting in verse 8. In Lystra, there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him and saw that he had faith to be healed. And he called out, "Stand up to your feet." At this, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in Lyconian language, "The gods have come down in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priests of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates, because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We are only human, like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things and to the living God, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way, yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in the seasons. He provided you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. But then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside of the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up, went back into the city, and the next day he and Barnabas left for Derby. Let me pray for us as we continue this morning. Lord Jesus, I ask that as we've read this scripture and as we talk about it this morning, that you would open up the eyes of our heart, that the things inside of us would resonate with the things that I say, that you would speak clearly, that they would not hear from Jeff, but they would hear from you. And so I humbly ask for you to speak on my behalf this morning. Lord Jesus, speak clearly to our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So just to give you a little bit of a backstory, just the precursor to this, in the first 8 verses that I skipped over, we were in Antioch last week when we looked at chapter 13. They went from Antioch in Pisidia, which is different from the original Antioch that we talked about. Please don't be confused. I'll show you a map. They went to Iconium, and when they were in that city seemed to be divided about what to believe between what Paul was saying and what others were saying. And so there rose up a plot to stone Paul and Barnabas, so they fled to Lystra that we just talked about this morning. So if you, here's a map to help you. Here we go. And if you follow those orange lines, that's the route at which Paul and Barnabas traveled. Up in the top corner, I kind of zoomed in for you, they went from Antioch to Iconium and then Iconia to Lystra, and they would go on to Derbe. And so while they were there, they meet this lame man. If you could fast forward me a couple slides there, Josh. Keep going, one more. This is a lame man with no strength in his feet. That's the connotation here. That way from birth, he was listening intently to Paul. And Paul looks over at him, and something about how he was listening brought Paul to the place that he thought, this man had faith, I have faith, let's trust God for the miraculous. And so he says to him, shouts, stand up. And the man just doesn't stand up, he jumps up, which had to have been crazy for those viewing what was going on there. And then take me to the next one. Here we go. Healing was not their main focus. Right? This is the first healing that we've seen in this journey between Paul and Barnabas. They were just sharing the good news and healing broke out. But the crowd's response is a little overwhelming. And they really, they didn't know what was going on until later. They didn't realize what was taking place because they shouted out in a local language, the gods have come down in human form for us. And Paul and Barnabas were like, yeah, I mean, they don't understand what's going on, but everybody's getting excited. And they had just talked about Jesus, so their assumption was, hey, these guys get it. And so they're like, yay! Except there was this whole thing going on behind the scenes that they didn't really get. The miracle caused people to worship Paul and Barnabas, not to worship the God that they were talking about. And Barnabas, they labeled as Zeus, and Paul as Hermes. And so if you don't know your Greek gods, let me just break it down for you. I got some lessons from my boys this week to make sure that I didn't screw this up. And so if you're a Greek mythologist and I screw this up, I apologize. But this is the this is what was going on here. So Zeus is the chief deity of the pantheon on Mount Olympus. He is the sky or weather god. Oftentimes he's seen with a lightning bolt in his hand. He is often thought of as the God who created man and other gods. He's divided, basically divided the world and helped allowed his brothers, Hades and Poseidon, to help him rule. Am I good? Did I screw anything up? All right, good. All right, next, Hermes. Here we go. Hermes is the son of Zeus, sometimes referred to as the god of fertility, but not always. If you didn't learn that, that's fine. This is just some of the characteristics that are led to Hermes. The protector of sheep and cattle, of travelers, oftentimes of dreams, like to help you into sleep, and then also sometimes to help you transition in the afterlife. So oftentimes he's paired up with Hades. He's sometimes referred to as the patron of music or the one who started music. But most often he's referred to as the messenger god or the herald of Zeus. And so this seems to be the case here in the passage. They look at Barnabas, and he doesn't seem to be talking, but there's something about him that causes awe, and so they think, well, he's got to be Zeus, look at him. And then Paul's doing all the talking, well, he's got to be Hermes. And so just imagine, this is what's happening in the minds of the people, and Paul and Barnabas are just like internally going, yeah, they get it. Oh, awesome, they get it. They get it, but the whole time, the people didn't get it. They're literally worshiping other gods and thinking these people are in fact gods. Move me along there, Josh. And the priests of Zeus brought these bulls and wreaths to sacrifice. They had misplaced their worship. They misplaced their worship. They had focused on these humans and thought these humans were gods and were worshiping contrary to what Paul and Barnabas had said. I feel like so often in life we have a tendency to find ourselves worshiping other people. And it starts subtly. We see maybe somebody do some kind of feat of amazingness, and then we start, or maybe it's an actor or an actress or a musician, and we put posters of these people on our walls. For me as a kid, this guy is Barry Sanders. In my mind, arguably the greatest running back the NFL ever saw. I got to see him in college at Oklahoma State University, and then he made it to the pros. And he would have broke the rushing title if he was able to work out a contract with the Lions. They weren't willing to get rid of him so he could continue. So he literally retired after 9 years. But the next slide, this is a picture of him, what we call juking people. Scientists literally studied his ankles because they seemed to go to a degree that your ankle's not supposed to go to without snapping. And he would literally make these cuts. And so watching him as a kid who loved football, just watching this guy run across the field, there was this thing inside of me that went to like a place of awe. Where I was like, oh my goodness. And I wanted him on my wall. I wanted to meet him. I had an opportunity when he was at Oklahoma State University. My dad has a picture of me and my brother Tim standing next to Thurman Thomas, who was another great running back for the NFL, who played for the Bills. And in the background on the bench is Barry Sanders just sitting there because he wasn't yet a starter. And I thought, there he was right there, and we missed it. We missed it, and he's the greatest running back of all time. But every time I hear about him, every time I see him, if I see every now and then somebody throws an old clip of him, just like he would run this way and somebody would stop and try to get him and he'd jump back this way and they'd literally go falling and break their ankles and he'd keep going. Every time I see one of those videos, some of you are with me, you're like, whoa, you get so excited inside. And then Maybe football's not your thing. Maybe actors are your thing. This is Kevin Spacey in the film The Usual Suspects. And in my mind, The Usual Suspects is the greatest movie of all time. And we can have debates, that's fine. I generally, when I go to see a movie, I know something about the movie, and that's why I'm going to see the movie. My roommate was... We talk about worshiping. We've had conversations about this. He worshiped movies. He can tell you to this day, every best actor, best actress, best supporting actress, every best picture, every best director for the entirety of the Oscars, if you ask him. So he knew all about movies. He was like, hey, let's go to the movies. So I trust him. He knows. So we go to the movies. I said, what do you want to see? And he goes, I don't know. Like, I know all the stuff about, but I don't know anything about this movie. Do you want to go with me? I'm like, sure. Let's go. Generally, I'm not the greatest when it comes to that. Like, just ask my wife. I'm like, hey, let's go watch this movie. And halfway through, she's like gouging her eyes out. And I'm like, I'm really sorry. This is terrible. So we go to this movie. And about 5 minutes in, I was thinking, oh my goodness. This guy, I didn't even know who Kevin Spacey was at the time. I was like, this guy's the greatest actor I've ever seen in my entire life. And then, you know, if you don't know the movie, it came out in 95. So you had a long time to know what happens in this movie. So I'm going to spoil it for you. Oh! Okay. I'll just tell you. At the end of the movie, you're going to be like, what? Your jaw will be on the ground. This is the greatest twist ever in the history. You can tell me all you want about Sixth Sense. I figured that one out halfway through. This one, I was like, what? No way. And for 20 years, I thought this guy was the greatest guy in the world, and we'll get to it at the end of the service. But we have a tendency, when we see awe, to follow awe. But the true meaning of awe is beyond comprehension. And the only person who is due awe is Creator God. And we misplace awe and redirect it to people all the time. And sometimes we don't even realize we're doing it. And we fall in worship with somebody so that if somebody says anything about that person, we're literally at the point of murder to defend them. We laugh, but it's true. If you say anything bad about this person, I will slay you. It's misdirected worship. And these people had seen what had happened. They saw the miracle that took place. It didn't make sense because they'd never seen anything like it. They'd never seen Creator God manifest in that way, and they redirected it towards people and not towards God. And we're still doing it 2,000 years later. And so Paul and Barnabas go, no, 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 no. This is what it's really about. So move me along, Josh. In this next section of verses, when Paul and Barnabas realized what was going on, when they were like, oh, wait a second, they're worshiping us. It had to have been like the what is going on moment. They literally tore their clothes. They ripped their clothes and were like, we're humans. Just like you. What are you doing? Stop. We're human beings. Stop. 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 Stop doing this. We're only humans. Move me on. Paul implored them to worship the real God, the God who they had just talked about, the Jesus that they had just talked about. And notice that he doesn't preach to them the way he had to the Jewish people when he go to each city. He doesn't go back and quote the Old Testament or Torah to them. He does something new with these, something that they would understand and comprehend. So he starts talking to them about creation. Look at the heavens and the earth and the seas and everything in them. God created those. The guy we're talking about created all that. Not us, not your gods. He did it. Move me along. He used to let men go their own way, he says. Now he's given us Jesus. We used to just, you know, go about the earth, but now Messiah's come, the one to restore your relationship with Creator God. He is here. He is present. You need to choose him. And he provides rain for the crops and that produce food for you to eat. And he is, the concept here is the author of joy. If you've ever felt joy or happiness in your life, it comes from him. So that good greatness that you feel, the God we're talking about is the one who gives you that. Please redirect your focus to where it needs to be, not on us. We're not the ones who need to be focused on. Even giving that information, it says they still struggled to keep the people from worshiping them. So I want to talk about what they were talking about just for a second, and indulge me, indulge the scientist in me. If you're a science person, you're going to love the next couple minutes, and if you're not, I apologize. But I need to help us understand what awe is. And when I think about these things, I think about awe. And so the speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. All right, don't read ahead. Just think about that for a second. It's 186,000 miles per second, not miles per hour, miles per second. A light year is how far that light will travel in 1 year. And so just the galaxy that we live in, the Milky Way galaxy, I'm not talking about like our solar system. Our solar system sits within inside the Milky Way. The Milky Way is 105,700 light years across. So it will take the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, 105,700 light years to go across. Just our galaxy. I think sometimes we look up at the stars and go, whoa, look at those stars. That's so beautiful. Just our galaxy is 105,700 light years across. Think about that for a second. That's just our galaxy. Scientists believe there's 100 billion galaxies that we know. So far, the Hubble telescope has revealed about 100 billion galaxies. That's just the ones we know. 100 billion, the ones we know. There's probably 200 billion. Let that sit in for a second. If you're not in awe yet. And we know more about that than we do our own stinking ocean. We know less about the ocean than we do about the stars up in the sky. Keep going. Oh, I skipped over. So, like, if you put all those galaxies in the entire universe, 46.5 billion light years across. That's what we think. So the speed of light going 186,000 miles per second, it would take it 46.5 light years to travel across the known universe. And that's just width. That's not depth and breadth and all that other stuff. Like, just think about that for a second. And the God who created it all, literally it says it, he's outside of space and time and he holds it in his hand. So whatever your concept of God is, it's got to be blown up. Because God holds all that in his hand. We know about 8.7 million species on planet Earth. And we discover 15,000 every single year. 15,000 new species every single year. And we guesstimate that there's 86% more species to be found out. God created all that, guys. He created all that. And we lose 2,000 every year that die off. And like some of them, we didn't even know they existed. Think about the God who created all that just for fun. Just because he's creative. No, I'm just going to create that. And I'm going to create that. And the bombardier beetle that has two chemicals inside of his butt that if they were to touch each other, he would literally blow up. But it shoots it out at just the same time, right time, that it literally becomes a fireball out his anus. Our God created that. It just blows my mind. It's the like unbelievable. And I'm watching Shark. I told you it wasn't be the only Shark Week reference. So this week, the Pondicherry shark. We thought this thing went extinct in 1979, and it started showing up in fishermen's nets and on fishermen's lines. And this researcher went with a team, and they took DNA samples and found out, no, this thing actually exists. And this is one of the coolest sharks. It and the bull shark are some of the only sharks that we know of that can literally change their body to go from saltwater to freshwater. Makes you a little nervous to go up the Hudson because we found bull sharks in there. Right? This is in Sri Lanka. They found this thing a couple miles up a river in Sri Lanka. But we thought it went extinct in 1979. Well, it doesn't exist anymore. And God's like, ha, surprise. It was there all along. And he's saying, Paul is saying to these Greeks, hey, listen, stop worshiping the gods that you've worshiped. Stop worshiping us. We know a God who is greater than all of that. And this is just a minute piece of what that God has done. Look at the heavens. Look at the earth. Look at the sea and everything in it. That's the God we want you to know. Not us, him. That's what we want you to know. And even after saying all that, they still were like trying to bow down and worship and sacrifice bulls to them. No. But how quickly life turns, right? How quickly. The last few verses here, 19 and 20. It says, then the Jews from Antioch, it's more than 100 miles away. They're still ticked off at Paul and Barnabas for telling people about Jesus. So they travel 100 miles, pick up people from Iconium. They're still on the trail. They show up in Lystra, and they convince the same people who are worshiping Paul to stone him, just like that. His testimony about his life, his character, is destroyed in an instant. Gone. The guy that they were about to worship, now they're ready to stone. And they literally stone him and drag him out of the city and leave him for dead. And this is the disciples gathered around him. And he gets up and goes back into the city. Listen, if I get stoned, I'm not getting up. I'm be worshiping God in heaven. But God brings Paul back to life, and his first response is, hey, these people still need to know about Jesus. Not my first response. My first response was, all right, next city, here we go. But he goes right back into the city. And this is the crazy thing for me. Like, so they saw that miracle. Then the dude gets stoned and he walks back into the city. And we don't know what happens at that moment, but they have to be going, what? We just stoned you. Something had to, like, affected them, and they come back through, so we know that he doesn't get stoned again. But then the next day, Barnabas goes, hey, let's go to Derby. When we misplace our worship, when we direct our worship to people and not God, things fall apart. And I said earlier that like I followed Kevin Spacey went on to win an Oscar for that movie, and he went on to become one of the greatest actors the world has ever seen until 2 years ago, when all this junk in his personal life came out that he had sexually assaulted people. And in an instant, he went from one of the greatest actors in the entire world to not being able to get a job. Why? Because he's a human. And at some point, every single human on this planet Earth will fail. They will. And we put our trust in people all the time. And at some point, they will fail us. I will fail you. At some point in my life, I will misrepresent God to you, and I will fail in your eyes. Humans, because of their flawed nature as a result of sin that entered the world through Adam and Eve, will always fail. But thanks be to God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and died and rose again, conquering sin, death, and Satan for you and for me. We have a place to put our awe. We have a correct place to put our worship. And his name is Jesus. So this is what I want us to respond to this morning. Who are you worshiping? Is there a human in your life that has misplaced worship? There's somebody there like, oh man, I'm dangerously close to worshiping this person. I would really encourage you this morning to replace that person with Creator God. Some people are great. Some people are downright amazing. And the things that they understand and they comprehend and are able to share with the world are miraculous. But all that miraculous comes from someone else, a Creator God. And if we worship the creation as opposed to the Creator, we're going to fail every single time. We just are. Let's choose to worship a God who is really due awe. And so that awe gets that meaning back in its correct form. And we can finish with, he is awesome. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would break us of our people worship this morning. That you would open up our eyes and our hearts and our minds to the people in our lives that we worship. Because when they fail us, our world falls apart. And there's no need for our world to fall apart over the failure of a person, because we're all going to do it. And so this morning, Lord, I ask that you would redirect our worship to you. That we would worship the one who is due worship. The one who will never fail. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to finish this morning with another act of worship called communion.